the Premier League on OTB.
Here's Marcus Rashford, back to Shaw again, left footed shot, low, and he scores! Luke Shaw makes it 2-0 to Manchester United.
The very best expert analysis on your phone and for free. Download the OTB Sports app now.
GAA on Off The Ball.
Time for more analysis of the All-Ireland Football Final. We went very heavy, as you can imagine, on the Tyrone between 7 and 8. We were talking to the Tyrone joint manager, Brian Duher. We also heard from Brian McGuigan and Ricey McMenamin in there as well. You can get all of that on the OTB Sports app. Just subscribe to our GAA podcast and you'll get them straight to your phone every single day. But to reflect on the final then, I'm joined by Mike Quirk and Billy Joe Padden. Good evening, lads.
Good evening.
Mike, we might start with you and the Tyrone performance and what they got right. Did they do anything you weren't expecting on Saturday?
Probably nothing hugely different that we didn't see in the semi-final, but they just did it a little bit better. I thought, you know, the Niall Morgan and his performance in goals has been something that captivated the last couple of games. You know, their kickouts, the length with which they went, you know, and targeted McKenna and different guys going really long on so many kickouts, and the joy they had off that, I think, is, you know, has the opportunity to be transformational for the game again, to see a new little nuance and how their kickout was so effective and so, you know, such an effective attacking weapon from. I think there was lots of bits and pieces. I think the performance of their half forward line, Studden and Myler, I think, were just top drawer. Really, really awesome performance from them. And ultimately, they were just that bit better. They had the better finishers. And I think Killian O'Connor's absence eventually, you know, told and Mayo suffered because of it.
Billy Joe, let's go from back to front then almost with that Tyrone performance and start with Niall Morgan. It's just so interesting to watch Morgan throughout a game. He's this magnetic presence on the pitch. Nothing he seems to do is in any way half-hearted. When he's coming 30 yards out of goal, he's coming out for that ball with every single ounce of his being. And the bravery you need to put yourself on the line like that when you've had setbacks like he had against Kerry in the league, when it did go badly wrong, and it's embarrassing and there's a humiliation to that he stepped up again and again. He makes the pitch an awful lot smaller, it seems, as well for Tyrone. He's had a massive impact this season.
He has, and he's another, if you're a goalkeeper or a free taker or a forward, instant memory loss is a very useful trait to have, and you're right there. He put those mistakes of the past behind him very, very quickly. Hasn't in any way affected the way he plays the game. He's very, he plays on the front foot, likes to attack the ball as much as he can, and he's a really good footballer. Obviously, it's been well detailed now that he plays a lot of club football out the field, so he's very comfortable out the field in those situations, comfortable coming out to the 21. I think in the second half there, he came out for one great ball, or maybe in the and that's hugely important. But I suppose more, and it is interesting what Mike's saying about the kickouts, but I think that's maybe too much focus is put on a goalkeeper in relation to a kickout strategy. And I think you have to give the whole team, the management team as well as Morgan, credit for the way that that they were able to deal with their own kickout, and maybe doing it a different way than many teams have been doing it in the last couple of seasons.
So talk about the way they've been doing it, because they went long 16 times during the match. They won 12 of those long kickouts, and it resulted in a goal and 7. What is it, away from just the accuracy and the way, the flight of the ball that he's able to ping it, what is it that they're doing out the pitch that they're able to make such an impact off those long kickouts?
Well, I think they organise that they're landing in at that on the right matchup, and sometimes that happens when you suck maybe some of Mayo's bigger players into an area that you're not going to kick the ball to, and then you leave yourself with a matchup that you like the look of, whether it's McKenna on somebody else. I think if you remember the McCurry goal, I think it was Enda Hessian was the last Mayo defender jumping for the ball with Conn Kilpatrick. Now, it was a brilliant catch, but it was always going to be a matchup that you'd favour there for the Tyrone midfielder. Hessian is more of a wing player and not as tall. So it's about finding those matchups on the field. And that's quite sophisticated in terms of moving players around like that. And again, being able to do that in a really long way away from your own goal. And I think that's what Tyrone maybe did differently to not so much differently. Monaghan have done it a lot with Began and Patton and Donegal going over the top as well. But I think added to that, to the fact when Monaghan and Monaghan and Donegal are doing it, they're looking to put somebody into space. Whereas Tyrone are much more confident of playing it to a matchup and saying that they won't be beaten in a clean possession. And if they don't win it clean, they'll be there to win the breaks. And I think it was one area where they improved dramatically. from the Kerry game, in terms of that being able to pick up breaks, because they weren't great against Kerry. Now Kerry have more traditional style midfield maybe than Mayo, and better in the air in terms of David Moran and Jack Barry than Mayo performed in that area on Saturday evening. So maybe that was a factor also. But I think it was also going to be a point of emphasis for Tyrone, considering how poorly they were in that area, that they were going to improve there, and they definitely did.
Mike, was there anything Mayo could have done even mid-game to change things, to counter what Morgan was doing with the long kickouts?
Well, you would have assumed that they, you know, before the game ever started, that they knew what was going to happen with those kickouts. I mean, it was interesting that they did go, you know, with the same number of, or close to the same number of kickouts long against Kerry and lost three quarters of them. Whereas this time, they backed themselves. If we do lose the ball in that area, then we've got a lot of bodies back here to help us defend and not concede scores. And if we do win it, we're more likely to get scores. From Mayo's perspective, you could just see from the high behinds, you know, especially later when you watch the game back again, that they did isolate McKenna a couple of times. They did have runners running to the wings and trying to, you know, find that mismatch and then put it into a good area. Like from the distance that Morgan's kicking that ball, his accuracy is obviously, you know, pretty solid, but it's still putting it into a general area. So they just did a better job of, you know, finding that breaks, finding the improvements from the Kerry game, because they didn't win the breaks, and this time they were in the right areas at the right time. And it does, if you have somebody that can kick the ball with that length and that accuracy, and you have guys that are solid around the jump and can control a tap or knock it down to somebody or catch it like Conn Kilpatrick did for the goal, then it's a big advantage. And it's something I'm sure that a lot of teams would be looking at and saying, okay, they got a lot of joy out of it, and how can we do this a little better?
Watching the game, Mike, on Saturday, for the first 20 minutes, I thought, well, Mayo are starting to get at Tyrone. They're running at Tyrone and they're getting through the middle. And then after 20 minutes, you realise, well, actually, Tyrone are almost happy to let them do that because they were so comfortable and well organised defensively, and they were turning them over. And more as the game went on, they were turning them over in better positions. I think they ended with 1-7 from turnovers. How impressive was their transition in play to go from those turnovers to ending up and culminating with scores? And again, was that not something Mayo should have been expecting from Tyrone?
Yeah, but it's one thing expecting it, and then you see it in the flesh and the pace that they go with and the skill that they go with. I mean, you know, Mayo started this game really, really well. Like, Aidan Shea wins the throw-in, puts a great ball to Tommy Conroy. Tommy Conroy puts his head down, smashes through Peter Hart and kicks a great score. Next kick out, Niall Morgan kicks it and it remains inside the 21 and they have a hot ball. So Mayo got off to a brilliant start, and Tyrone weathered that and got their, you know, got themselves in the right place. But I just think the first score, you look at the first score that Tyrone got, and it was McNamee puts a great ball with his left leg to Hamsey and the outside of the right boot strokes it over the bar. And that's, they just started to do that all day from mistakes that Mayo made. Their ability with Sludden and Myler in particular, who were, I just thought were so, so good on the wings. The dynamism that they show up and down the field, they're really, really high skilled as well. It's not just athleticism. It's not just getting back in numbers and tackling, because for most of that 20 minutes, you know, I know Frank Burns was trying to help out and be an extra man at times, but for a lot of that, you know, opening half and for a lot of the game, it was man for man in a lot of occasions. But they just did such a good job of you know, getting up the field every time they won that ball back. And to be fair to McCurry and these guys, they were able to find the finishes and put enough scores on the board.
Mm. Billy Joe, the skill levels of the Tyrone players, particularly the finishing ability in comparison to the Mayo forwards, like, is that down to pure Gaelic footballing ability? Was it having half a second more on the ball because the Mayo defenders weren't getting tighter? Why was it that the scores always seemed to come that little bit easier for Tyrone?
Well, I think it's a mixture of those things. I think, you know, there's no doubt that the Tyrone players have a very high skill level, and they executed really well. I think they're obviously going into an All-Ireland final with a lot of confidence, coming off a, you know, a short break after a big, big win where they, you know, particularly the defenders, you know, had maybe a couple of shots, you know, a shot each, and they all nailed their scores, and, you know, Hampsey does it again. So that's hugely positive. Sludden's points were very, very important for Tyrone in the early stages of the game. I think there probably is a bit of an element, though, that if you're getting your scoring opportunities maybe from quicker ball, from a counter-attack, maybe from a quick switch of play, it's that bit easier. You have a bit more space to get a shot away and you're more comfortable taking it. Whereas a lot of the shots that Mayo were taking was following slow, laboured build-up where they were under pressure and then maybe taking a shot under pressure again and poor execution. But I don't think there's a whole lot of, you can't make too many excuses for it, because in terms of where Mayo were taking the shots from, in many instances it was the right decision, it was the right thing to do, just pure poor execution.
And that's what's going to take up a long winter for James Horan, I guess, as to why that poor execution came home to roost on All-Ireland final day. Because when you do look at the stats, both sides had 19 shots from play. Tyrone scored 2-8, Mayo scored 7 points.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a factor when he sits back and analyzes it. I think, you know, it's difficult sometimes to you don't want to blame players in any instance, because they're putting their hands up, they're taking shots, they're showing that responsibility. But sometimes you just have to move it on when it's not your day and try and find a fella that's in a bit of form. And unfortunately for Mayo, in the last 20 minutes, there were not too many of forwards there that were really on top of their game that you could say, well, let's try and find him with the ball and make a shot for him. But there was just too many players not executing at a high enough level. I think it will be a point of emphasis in terms of Mayo's attack and play for sure over the winter and moving forward. I think that it's a bit harsh to maybe be too critical maybe of Tommy Conroy or Ryan O'Donoghue, considering how young they are in their inter-county careers. And when you look at the season as a whole, they've definitely made positive strides in terms of their development. I think what it'll be about adding to those players' attributes. Maybe they'll obviously have to learn from this experience and trying to add a couple more players into that mix that maybe have the skill set to be finishers more so than middle third grinders and runners.
There's so much to analyse in it, Mike, but it does come down to how clinical Tyrone were with their goals in comparison to Mayo. Mayo had 3 good goal chances and the penalty and didn't take any of them, whereas Tyrone, well, maybe they had 3 chances, but they took 2 of them and they took them at exactly the right time. That in even though it was 5 points in it, these were very small margins in the end. That bit of composure that was missing, like it cost Kerry, ended up costing Mayo.
Yeah, and it's so strange. You look at Tyrone, have only conceded 1 goal, but they've given up huge, huge goal chances. Kerry should have easily walked in 2 goals in the semi-final, and Tyrone come away and they score 2 maybe fortunate enough goals themselves. Like, I thought Mayo had 4 brilliant, you know, including that penalty, 4 really proper good goal chances. Like, that Loftus one was, you have to finish that, whether it's you side-footed in or you pick it up and you slip it across or you finish yourself. But that's a nailed-on goal chance. The Aidan O'Shea one was just crying out for a little dummy bounce, dummy solo, come back in. And again, he had a runner off his shoulder that was either a slip pass or a finish. And they're easy goal chances for guys at that level. They should be easy goal chances for guys playing in All-Ireland final as an inside forward. And Tommy Conroy's one, like, I wouldn't be critical of the guy. He wins a ball, great pace, goes by a guy and you know, he's a foot outside the post, and it would have been a brilliant goal and a momentum shift. And the same with Ryan O'Donoghue with the penalty. Like, there, you know, if you take 2 of those, it's a different game. And again, if Mayo, these are the margins, like, that are just, you know, just so narrow. Then Ryan O'Donoghue scores that goal, and if he scores that penalty, now they go up a point. The whole momentum and energy of the stadium, everything changes, and maybe Tyrone do go on to win the game. But, like, you see how clinical, you know, McKenna was with that pass. And I thought McKenna, very similar to the Kerry game in the semi-final, I thought McKenna did nothing in the semi-final, but he finished it with 2 goals because he got about 4 touches and had the crucial moments in the game. And similarly here, after that, Con Kilpatrick, you know, keep out win, he drives in, like, just so good, that extra solo still. And they had the guys that were...
Now, we just seem to be losing you there, Mike. I will come back to Mike Quirk in a moment. I think, Billy Joe, you're still with us?
I sure am.
Momentum for Mayo is always so important at Croke Park. There's always something that happens in a quarterfinal, semi-final, final that just seems to ignite them for 10 minutes. And that never happened. The Mayo supporters never got fully enwrapped in the game because all those big moments went to begging. Like the penalty even. Is this just a big moment in the All-Ireland final that goes wrong? Is it technique? Is it composure? Is it confidence? Is it the weight of expectation? Like, how do you explain it?
Well, I suppose I know Ryan O'Donoghue well. He's from my own club. I've seen him score a lot of penalties. He's a player with a lot of confidence. He's a player that can deal very, very well with mistakes in a game and responds very, very well to those. I think it's just one of those things that he had it in his mind that that's the way he was going to execute the penalty, and he just pushed it too far to the right and it hits the post. Now, maybe Morgan is advancing off his line, and maybe in the corner of his eye he sees that and feels he has to push it a bit further away, and that's why it goes wide. I think it's just as simple as that. Penalties, as you know, it's about executing them. You know, there's no points for style. All that matters is they hit the back of the net, and that one didn't. But you're right. I think in that situation in the game, that if the penalty were to go in, and this is a big if, that the way the Mayo team has been built over the last 10 years, it's a team that builds on momentum, on key shifts in games, and kind of builds up a head of steam. And they never got that opportunity, because literally you could mention the four goal chances, you could mention other, you know, points chances that were missed that never really able to create that momentum at any stage in the game. And that's very frustrating for Mayo supporters. And I'm sure it was extremely frustrating for the team, because they feed off those sort of incidents in games. And you could imagine if Mayo were able to generate an incident like that you would have had Lee Keegan, Paddy Dirk, and Kevin McLaughlin, Matty Ruan, all reacting to it. But in all fairness to Tyrone, they were able to manage those situations very, very well, and were deserved winners, and were able to keep Mayo at arm's length throughout that stage.
It just feels as though, Mike, so much of this was predicted in advance, that the game went the way a lot of pundits thought it would, including the impact of the Tyrone bench in comparison to the Mayo bench. Takes a lot of balls in a way, I guess, from the management team of Duher and Logan to hold back the McShanes of the world, to hold back the Canavans, and to trust that actually the game will still be in the balance when you bring them on and they can make the impact in the space of 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, and it did, obviously, and it is faith and trust for a new management team, obviously, and it was a big, big call, especially after McShane's impact in the semi-final. He obviously would have been pushing hard to see if he could, you know, make a starting place, but he came in and did what he's been doing, a brilliant ball by Myler over the top after a great bit of movement, and finished it lovely, and, you know, he had a big impact, but the pace of Canavan, like Mayo didn't have that same impact. You know, Hessian gave it to him against Dublin, but nobody came off the bench and really lit it up in the way that they had against Dublin. And, you know, that was a big part of it, obviously, in the finish. But it's still down to how well, you know, Mayo are, you know, Tyrone took their chances and Mayo didn't. And you can be analysing it to death. Like the difference, you know, that Killian O'Connor would have made to Mayo if he was there, a guy that was going to guarantee you 7-8 points, and was going to be a leader up front, who was going to win ball, win frees. And I do think that, you know, this year will benefit the likes of Ryan O'Donoghue and Tommy Conroy and all these guys, because you're going to plug in somebody like Killian O'Connor into this thing next year, who's going to give you those extra scores. And that's really what they were missing. They needed that attacking, you know, point, and they didn't have it.
I hadn't realised until today that Aidan O'Shea's never scored in an All-Ireland final. Yeah. 7 All-Ireland final defeats. And look, as usual, Billy Joe, he is the lightning rod for criticism when it comes to Mayo defeat. And so much of it, again, unfortunately, has been way over the top on social media. On his performance, so in the first half, Mayo seemed to make decent use of him, and he got out in front of his marker 3 or 4 times. He obviously kicked a bad wide, but he was making an impact, and so were Conroy and O'Donoghue. That never seemed to happen in the second half for O'Shea. Why didn't they, or why couldn't they use him as often in that role in the second half?
I think it was more so down to the way Tyrone were defending in the second half. I think they had more bodies basically in front of him, and the ball he was winning in the first half was kind of a short ball out in front, and he was making a straight run towards the ball carrier. Even in the first half, you have to say that Tyrone's tracking of the support runners was outstanding in all areas of the field. So it was very difficult for him to get a hand pass off to somebody, you know, travelling at pace past him and bearing down on goals. It happened a few times and they won a few frees out of it, but Tyrone really stepped that up in the second half, and they were able to keep the Mayo ball carriers that bit further out the field. So it was, and then the Mayo ball carriers didn't have the confidence to put a longer ball into them, and I think that's probably down to, it wasn't the game plan, because it was something that didn't really work against Dublin the last day out. I really feel sorry for Aidan O'Shea, just in terms of what has happened in the last two games. I suppose I'd be a person who I do not think he's very effective in the full forward line. I don't think it's a position that suits him. But when you consider that he did a poor outing in the semi-final against Dublin, it is always going to be very hard for him to have the confidence back to make to have a real strong position without totally redefining his role. I would much prefer to have seen him playing in midfield and kind of narrow down his level of responsibility and his role, and something that he's more comfortable with, catching kickouts. He's an excellent tackler out in that area of the field. And I think it's something that is quite clearly doesn't work when he plays in the full forward line for Mayo. And again, in the second half, it was totally ineffective.
Yeah, I found myself, Mike, in both the semi-final and final, sort of scanning the pitch a lot, going, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? You're constantly looking for him. Is there something James Horan could do to get more out of Aidan O'Shea? Should he be looking at the Tyrone model over the next couple of years and thinking there's an impact sub there for 20 minutes, but actually maybe as a starter, his time has come and gone?
Sure, look, I mean, only Aidan O'Shea and James Horan will know that, and they'll be judged by his performances and not by us talking about it, I suppose. But I think Aidan O'Shea is always a lightning rod, and it's a part of, I suppose, he puts himself out there, you know, on social media, whatever, and that makes him a lightning rod for criticism whenever things don't go well. But there was a lot of other guys that didn't play anywhere near the standard that they're capable as well on that Mayo team. And yeah, he's the guy that seems to be getting most of the flack and most of the criticism, probably because of that reason. But I'm sure there's at least six or seven other guys that were equally culpable in terms of their poor performance. But Aidan O'Shea in this game, I think he struggles against the likes of Dublin or against the likes of a Brian Fenton or a James McCarthy, because he just can't keep up with their wheels. But in midfield in this game, I thought either Conn Fitzpatrick or Kennedy weren't going to burn him with pace, and he would have been more effective in that area for me in this game, because neither of those guys have the wheels to really, really punish him. So that was a place for him, but I think it's the matchup that they need to find, because when he went in full forward, you just couldn't, they didn't know how to use him, how to get the most out of him. And that's been a recurring theme for the last 10 years, really.
It did seem, Mike, that Tyrone got their matchups just right. Myler and Durkin, that they were able to get at those real pivotal Mayo players. And maybe with the exception of Lee Keegan, not too many of the key Mayo men really stood out due to what Tyrone were doing.
No, they didn't. And that's, again, credit to Tyrone and the way that they were able to perform. I thought they had the bigger personalities in the game. They had the guys that were really, really pushing and looked like they were going to be, the guys in contention for man of the match and all that stuff. And again, I keep going back, McGeary, the guys from that middle eight, for Tyrone, while I mentioned the two midfielders weren't, incredibly dynamic, I thought they did a huge amount of work around the field, negating, breaking things up, getting a hand in here, a tackle, just really effective without being outstanding. And I think they had more of those guys who were scoring your sevens out of tens, whereas the Mayo guys were getting your fives. And again, I keep going back to it. I think the fact that, they were man for man on a lot of the Mayo players, it didn't give Mayo, by not playing a permanent sweeper, it didn't give Mayo an extra body to leave back in front of their full back line either. So it forced everybody in Mayo to have to pick up a guy as well, because that's what Tyrone were doing. And I think that played into their advantage. Like, that's how, that ball onto McShane was on straight away, because there wasn't an extra sweeper in front of him. There was the ball into McKenna that McCurry had the goal chance in the first half. That was on because everybody was picked up man to man. So I think Tyrone came and were really positive in the way that they approached the game, and that led to eventually them getting over the line.
Yeah, and the way you're talking, Mike, like for the management team, Brian Duher and Fergal Logan, in their first season, like, nobody quite knew what was going to happen when Mickey Hart left. There was definitely a feeling that maybe Mickey Hart had stayed on 2 or 3 years too long, that there was more in this Tyrone team than they've been allowed produce over the last couple of seasons. But considering where they were 11, 12 weeks ago, conceding 6-15 against Kerry, to only concede one goal during the championship, where they've got to go and be Cavan, the reigning champions, Donegal, Monaghan, everything that went on with the COVID, whatever people believe about that, there's no doubt it was a massive distraction for them. And to turn up and, it seems, get it pretty much spot on All-Ireland final day, this is right up there with the great managerial achievements we've seen in recent times.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. You couldn't but be impressed by both of them and by the performance of their team. And it's great. I think, maybe for years we weren't seeing enough of their personality. There was disagreements with broadcasters and different things, and it was like they were being stifled a little bit, maybe on the field and as well off it, that, you know, we we should be able to know who these guys are a little bit and have more of a not their personal stuff, but just have, you know their personality when they're playing. Allow them to speak after, leave them do their interviews if they want to do it. And I just think there's a much more positive feel about this team. And some of the footballers that we didn't really know much about 2 years ago or last year, and now you're looking at them saying these guys could be here for the next 7-8 years and they could be really, really pushing the Dublins, the Kerrys, the Mayos to battle it out for a couple of titles in the next decade. And I don't think that's over the top to say that, because the age profile of that team is in a really good place. And I think you have guys in key positions that have so much ability and so much skill and talent and drive. And then again, your first year, Dura Logan are on the pig's back for the next 5 years. No one's going to put them under any pressure. So I think they're in a really, really good place, obviously. And from where they were 5 weeks ago, where they were out of the championship and then forfeited the semi-final, it's an amazing transition from that to the top of the hill.
Well, Brian McGuigan was on a little bit earlier and he was saying the expectation around Tyrone is that this team will go on and win many more All-Irelands, that it feels Tyrone football's in a very good place with everybody pulling in the right direction. Club Tyrone are finding the finances to make sure the senior team don't want for anything. They've got a brilliant setup in Garvahi. They've underage talent coming through. In terms of what's next for this Tyrone side, Billy Joel, again, from where we were 3 months ago where nobody was talking about Tyrone to now saying that this is a team that will go and compete with Dublin and Kerry and win more All-Irelands over the next 5-6 years. Is that what you're expecting as well from them?
Yes, but I think that should always be the case with Tyrone, considering the level they've, you know, since they've made the breakthrough in 03, they've always had, you know, loads and loads of talented footballers, you know, excellent underage, you know, as deep a squad every year as any county in Ireland in terms of 1 to 30. They can nearly use any of those players. And again, that was evident on Saturday. So yes, this extra bit of confidence that will give them of winning an All-Ireland early in their career for many of them. And particularly when you get a player like McKenna back from Australia, and the lift that would give a squad to say that somebody would choose to leave a professional sporting lifestyle to come back and compete with you at this level. Well, that's going to give everyone else a boost. And then they always, as I said, they always have a couple of really good underage players that they can add to a squad at any stage. So yeah, that's no surprise there for me. They're going to be there competing for sure. I suppose maybe just, you know, Kerry are going to improve. I think Kerry will learn a lot from the what happened to them this season. I think they still obviously have a lot of good players, and Dublin also, like, you know, if you ask me, and I suppose I was lucky enough to be in a lot of the games this year, you know, the first 25 minutes of football by Dublin against Mayo was still the best bit of football I saw all year. So if they can see that out and be more consistent through 70 minutes, well, then they're going to be tough to beat for the years to come as well.
And what about Mayo then, Billy Joe? Because in a way, I don't think even too many Mayo people expected them to reach back-to-back All-Ireland finals over the last couple of years. But we're entering another winter where you'd wonder about the future of a squad player now like Cullen Boyle, Kevin McLaughlin, maybe even Lee Keegan. You see the pictures, the brilliant pictures of Lee Keegan with his child on all the papers and more on the way. Like, this is a team that generation is moving on quickly. Do you expect them to be thereabouts, or is there a sense actually that a couple of chances here they mightn't have expected and they'll have huge regrets that they didn't take them?
You can't pick and choose when you find yourself in an All-Ireland final, yeah. That's for sure. And when you're there, you have to win them, and Mayo haven't been able to do that. But I think you're right that in some it might have come too soon for many of the players, and when you add in the Killian O'Connor injury, and that's never ideal. But in terms of the older players, like Lee Keegan has shown that he has still so much to offer if he wants to do that. And that's his own personal decision. I really hope he does, because he's absolutely outstanding. I think the focus for Mayo in general will be to retain as many of these experienced players as possible, just to try and help the young players that have dipped their toe in the water as such, and the young players that we haven't seen that are coming as well. So there's two or three others to be added to that squad, and it'll be helpful if you're there learning from Cullen Boyle and Lee Keegan and Kevin McLaughlin. So yeah, that will be important. But I think there will need to be an emphasis on not so much changing the way Mayo approach the putting a team together or the way they play football, but, you know, James's first couple of seasons back, as in his second run, he's, you know, focused on getting those athletes into the team, because you need that. There's no doubt you need that running ability and physicality for Croke Park. But I think now what we really need to look for is trying to add a few bodies in the full back line, add a few bodies in the full forward line, that you can have a bigger spread there, that maybe even you have a situation, like you mentioned earlier on, where you have a couple of players on the bench that are have confidence, they can get you a score, particularly coming on to tired defenders, and then you have a situation where you have a much deeper squad and give you a better opportunity to take in those big scoring chances late in games.
Just briefly, Billy Joe, does he need to add bodies on the sideline? Because you think of Mayo over the last decade, they've had some big personalities in that dressing room, some really strong figures like Kieran Shanahan, Keane O'Neill, Donny Buckley. You don't get the sense at the moment in Mayo with that backroom team that those kind of personalities are having an impact on James Horan, that he's making virtually all the decisions.
Well, I don't know exactly what's going on in the camp or in the setup. Look, James has picked a backroom team that he's obviously very happy with, he's confident with. I suppose up to Friday evening, you would have said they were doing an excellent job considering the development they've done with young players. And sometimes maybe we react a bit too quickly to a result. The Mayo management team have done a whole lot of good work this season and last. All right, there are things that I'm sure that they would do differently if they had Saturday back. There are things that they will still be able to identify to work on. I suppose it'll be up to James to see if he needs extra personnel in there to help him in relation to any deficiencies they may have in terms of whether it's a tactical approach, whether it's more defensive play or forward play. And that's up for him to decide. I think that he has proven as a manager in himself that he can, develop really, really good players. And I suppose he deserves the right to go on and see where he can take it from here.
All right, Billy Joe Paddon, great stuff as always. Mike Quirk, thanks for joining us.
No matter. GAA on Off the Ball.